Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Jane Wiseman, and I'm the duty elder this morning. If there are any visitors worshiping with us today, welcome. And please join us downstairs following the service for a time of fellowship. And I would ask that you please find the guest book at the front door if you haven't already. We have a couple of announcements. We have our Lenten services on Wednesday at 12 o'clock and a soup lunch following. And there are maple syrup orders available. The Scouts will be here next week. It's Baden Powell Thinking Sunday, so they'll be here to pick up the orders. And I have a few orders, and I'll just put them downstairs if you'd like to fill them in. Your tax receipts are in your boxes. If you could please make sure you have yours. Some people can take them out of the wrong box, and just make sure your name's on them. And if you don't see yours in your box, please speak to Helena, and she will get them for you. She has extras in the envelope in the office. Let's see, what else did I have? Oh, there are also sales of Easter flowers downstairs, too. Lorna will be at a table with the orders for hydrangeas and lilies. So let us take a moment, please, to prepare for worship. We have the second Lenten reading, call to worship today. Change is coming, for God's plans are unfolding. A time will come when the oppressed are set free from the chains of bondage. The Hebrew people felt abandoned by God, especially when they were slaves in Egypt. It was hard for them to believe that their suffering would ever change. Sometimes change is gradual, and other times it is overnight. One day the Israelites were being whipped and forced to make bricks. The next day they were crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. Let us pray.
Liberating God, you can turn any heartache to joy and any hardship into victory. When our lives seem out of control, it is hard to recognize your saving presence. Come to us in our times of doubt and despair and remind us of your guiding love. Come to us when you feel overwhelmed and remind us of your sovereign power. Help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn, The Lord's My Light, number 15.
seated. This is the time when we come before our God with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And I know I mentioned this just about every Sunday, and I continue to do so today, especially since we're in our second week of Lent, when we discuss the term confession. It is a time for us to review how we've been doing in our week and how we have been walking God's path or not in many cases. A time for us to confess to God the times when we've stumbled, strayed from the line a little bit. And we ask through Christ that we can be reunited with God. In that light, then, let us bow our heads in prayer. O Christ, our Savior, like a seed that's fallen to the ground, you suffered death, a death that we acknowledge and think about in this time of Lent. United to you is how our lives can bear much fruit. United to you, our lives bear much fruit. So we praise you, Lord. Jesus, when you went down to the lowest point of the human condition, you remained close to all those who felt abandoned and were in fact abandoned. We praise you, Lord, that in your love you took it upon yourself our sins, our transgressions, our wandering from God's path. Innocent that you were, you accepted this death to free us from death. And we praise you for that, Lord. By your love, you conquered evil and hatred, and you live forever at our Father's side. So we praise you, Lord, for that too. And Jesus, you listen to us in your goodness, and you visit us in our misfortune. You fill our hearts to overflowing by revealing to us the light of your face. So we praise you for that. Holy and merciful God, we also come before you at this time to confess to you and in that quiet moment that we spend just now, the times that we have sinned by our own fault in thought or word or deed, by the things that we've done, by the things that maybe we've left undone. There have been times, Lord, when we have chosen not to love you with our whole heart and mind and strength. There have been times, Lord, when we have chosen not to love our neighbors as ourselves. There have been times, Lord, even if they're small, but we've not forgiven others as you have so greatly forgiven us. And so, Lord, we ask that you will have mercy on us. We have not always listened to your call to serve Christ as Christ has served us. And it's a hard thing to think about how much Jesus has done in that light. Lord, we have not always been true to the mind of Christ, the example set before us. And because of this, we've grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, Lord, our unfaithfulness, our pride, our hypocrisy, the impatience sometimes we have in our lives. We confess these things to you, Lord. We tend to be at times, sometimes self-indulgent in the ways that we exploit other people and other things. And we repent of these things, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we get angry at our own frustration and our envy of those maybe who are more a little better off than we are in our eyes anyway. Our intemperate love of the worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work, we confess to you. And those are hard words to say. But when we're not fully honest, we're being dishonest. When we're not fully loving your ways, Lord, we're loving the worldly ways. And you have called us to live a life in Christ that is holy and set apart. Lord, we are coming to you in prayer this morning because prayer is important. And there's been times, especially through this week in particular, if we think about it, when we haven't been praying, when we haven't been studying your word, when we haven't been trying to live your word in our lives at all times. So accept our repentance, O God, for the wrongs that we've done, for our neglect, for our anger, for our envy, for our cruelty in some cases. And we know that we can come before you boldly and say these things, Lord, because you truly love us. Your grace covers this through Christ. And we thank you for that. And Lord, in that light, we now unite our hearts praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In Christ we are all forgiven. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, number 348, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, and during verse 3 we'll have the children come forward. Lots this morning. Very good. Morning, boys and girls. How is everybody today? Good. I have something I wanted to tell you about, something that is a hobby of mine. Does everybody know what a hobby is? What's a hobby? Do you know? Yeah, you're not sure, maybe. What's a hobby? Yeah, something that's fun to do, generally, right? Not always fun for everybody else, but fun for you to do. So my fun little hobby that I've been doing for quite some time now is all in here. And I'm going to take it and show it to you. Because one of the reasons I started this hobby is I thought it would be very inexpensive, as all hobbies start out. I decided once a long time ago that I was going to start collecting something that we don't have anymore, but I thought, this will be great. I can collect 100 years worth of this something, and it'll cost me a dollar. Yeah, pennies was right. It's the right answer. Now look at this. I have a whole pile of pennies here. You see all my pennies. I'm missing a few, and I don't want to pay a lot of money for pennies. I just have a problem with that. Maybe it's my Scottish roots. I don't know. A penny's a penny. But anyway, here I have pennies. They start from 1920, and they go all the way up to here to 1989, and I have all the way up to into the 2000s as well. And I've collected these pennies for quite some time. And you can take a look. They're just little. Like, have you seen pennies before? I'm sure you all have, haven't you? You have one in your hand? Yeah, everybody got one this morning, I hope. Yes. Did everybody get a penny today? Have you all got a penny? Yeah? Very good, because if you don't, I've got more I can show you. Now, pennies weren't always the size of the ones you have in your hand. I have one or two in here. If I pour them out, find it. pennies used to be this big, a little bit bigger. People from Britain know about these pennies, I think, too. But we had them here in Canada. So who's got a penny? So you can see the difference in size.
Wow.
Yeah, see, that's much bigger, isn't it? See, you got a penny? See how much bigger that penny is? Yeah, that's a much bigger, see your penny. You can touch that if you like. Is that fun? Yeah, there's a nice picture of a king on there, too. Well, it's going to cost me more than $1 to collect all my pennies. But if we look very closely at our pennies, on the side where there's a person's face, not the side where there's the maple leaf, so if you've got your penny, look. And who is, do you know who that person is? Yep. It's the queen, that's right. And it says, if we look with a magnifying glass, and I've enlarged my penny here, it says Elizabeth II, not 11, Elizabeth II, that's right, D.G. Regina. I wonder what that means. Yeah, D.G. Regina. Any ideas what that might mean? It's Latin, I'll tell you that. It's another language altogether. Yeah, Regina means queen. And the D.G. stands for Dea Gratia, and that means by the grace of God. So on our pennies, it reminds us about God. And today, I wanted us to be thinking about God, and when you see, let's see your penny, nice and shiny one. Yeah, you can see it there, right? There's Elizabeth, right on there, it says D.G. Regina. And that says, by the grace of God, the Queen. But it's a reminder to us all that God is with us at all times. And we're going to be using these later on for our grown-ups. I want you to hang on to your pennies, and I want you to use those pennies when you see that DG to be thinking about God and how much God has given us. Even if it is just a little penny, God has always been blessing us with very, very much. So can we say a little prayer together, boys and girls, to thank God for that? Well, if you get a magnifying glass, you'll be able to see it later, okay?
I can see it.
Yeah, there you go. How about we say a prayer together? You can repeat after me, okay? Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Dear Jesus, thank you for your gifts and your love. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls, and have a wonderful time in Sunday school. I'll keep those pennies with you for a reminder about God. Good, Matt, good plan. Let's sing our last two verses seated, everyone. Keep your pennies ready because we're going to be talking about those in a few minutes. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us bow our heads in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and through that obeying your will. Open our eyes spiritually and our ears spiritually, Lord. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, and we pray this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our responsive reading found in your Psalters this morning is Psalm 27. With this psalm, Jewish people all over the world usher in the spirit of the days of awe, A-W-E, heralding a period and mood of repentance. Although this psalm says nothing specifically about repentance, it combats sin by teaching us how to prevent it at its source. David declares that the mind, which is fully engrossed in a single-minded dedication to God's service, has no room for sin. And he exhorts us not to be distracted from concentration on this one goal. Especially we can see in verse 4, "One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." For we as Christians can also think of this psalm as a psalm of Lent. God speaks to us in the life of Jesus through these words, and these act as a guide for us as we reflect and focus our thoughts during our close encounters with God in prayer and worship, especially during this time. Let's read responsively then, Psalm 27.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is strong in the stronghold of my life. When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after. For you, Lord, will hide me in your shelter in the day of trouble. You will conceal me under the cover of your tent. You will set me high on a rock. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help.
Do not cast me off, do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Do not give me up.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Thank you, Jane. Our Old Testament reading today is different than what's printed. I changed it this morning to Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. It's on page 12 in your pew Bibles. So we're still reading from Genesis. We're just reading from Genesis 15. This reading is the promise that God gave to Abraham, and ultimately in Christ. We share that same promise. Our promise is not so much that we would be literally heirs as told to Abram, but that we are grafted into part of the great family of God through Christ. The life, ministry, death and resurrection of Jesus are the culmination of this promise to Abram for all people who come to God through Jesus. The act of staying with the sacrifice by Abram is a clear message to us to stay with our commitment to God through Jesus in our lives, and especially in our Lenten reflections and journey to Easter. In this story, we'll see that Abram creates this very difficult to understand in the context of our world sacrifice. But he doesn't leave it. He stays with it until God speaks to him. It's that commitment to stay with God's promise is the challenge for us in this particular reading. Genesis 15, beginning at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer or of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, but no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, And the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these things and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. When the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. We'll jump to verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Our New Testament reading is found in Philippians chapter 3, and that's on page 198 in your pew Bibles, page 198 of the New Testament part of your pew Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. The issue that Paul's addressing to the congregation in Philippi has to do with conduct, and specifically with an attitude towards the use of their physical bodies. Paul's description of the troublemakers in this letter is clear that the persons who represent the indulgence of the body as an expression of the new life in Christ. In other words, they can do anything they want because they're not under the law anymore. It's not difficult to understand how you could arrive at that because Paul himself talks about that. But Paul was the foremost preacher of freedom. And what more natural way, in their minds at least, to demonstrate one's freedom than to indulge in the areas that they couldn't behave or take part of before that. Wherever Paul's gospel of freedom was heard, it was also misheard. So Paul's trying to straighten this out, and as we walk through Lent and I reflect on our lives and our personal stories, we need to remember that we're free in Christ, but not in looking only at earthly things. We're to focus on our heavenly goals. It's again, thinking of Psalm 27 and that dedication that Abram had, and that we are following the life of Jesus. Philippians 3, beginning at verse 17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of His glory by the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 31, and that's page 76 in the New Testament, part of your pew Bibles. It's of note, particularly in this reading that we're going to see the Pharisees acting in a very different way when they're talking to Jesus. In fact, they're trying to help him. More than often, we tend to see them as adversaries, pursuing Jesus and arguing with him. And even though we see them in opposition to Jesus, they were in many cases very sincere in their belief and their faith, and they saw that Jesus was as well. Herod, mentioned in this reading, after being named to the throne by Caesar Augustus upon the death of his father, Herod the Great, in 4 BC, he became the new ruler of the Roman Empire, of Judea as part of the Roman Empire. Herod was often referred to as the puppet king by the people of his day. He was really working for the Romans, not the Jewish people. That may be one of the factors that motivated the Pharisees to warn Jesus in this particular case. But this story is also part of the story of Jesus and part of our story. It's a story that shapes us and indeed shaped Jesus in the gospel stories, that Jesus was opposed in so many ways and accepted in others. Luke 13, beginning at verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. He said to them, Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills prophets and stone those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God. Let's join together now in our next hymn, Softly and Tenderly, number 640. Bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we ask that you will be speaking to each one of us in that way that we need to hear this day. And Spirit, move on our hearts and bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Make them acceptable to you and your people, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you've all got your pennies, I hope. I have two here. And I have two because I have the American one and I have a Canadian one. And as I pointed out to the children, it's hidden in the Canadian penny. On the American penny, it says, "In God We Trust," in plain letters. And I think it seems very typical of Canadians to hide their "in God" concept in just an abbreviated term. We want to have our faith, but we're not always as outspoken about it as we maybe should be. The reason I've given you these pennies, and for those of you who weren't here last week, we're doing two things. One, we're dealing with a theme over the next number of weeks on the crucified king, and you've seen that in the bulletin last week, for sure, and we'll be talking about that in our midweek services as well. And we're looking at all the different aspects of the king, Jesus, and today, the opposed king. And I've given you the pennies to put in an envelope that was given out last week. Last week we gave out paper clips as a reminder, and you had your envelope to put the paper clip in, and every week that goes by I'll be giving you something again small to put into that. Now this week I don't want you to put your penny in the envelope, I want you to put it in your pocket. And find whatever coat or pair of pants or whatever you got, just put the penny in your pocket. And I want you to do that for this reason. I want you what's going to be called a disruptive mnemonic. And some of you may or may not know what that means, but essentially, if we're trying to remember something, sometimes the things that we do, this is trying to describe how our mind works, I guess. Things that we do regularly become habit. And you've all done that, I know I certainly have, driving my car. I'm driving my car over a long distance, and you suddenly kind of come to and think, gee, this last 10 minutes have gone by, and I didn't know I got this far. Like, I just suddenly am alert again. Where'd all that road go? Because we're driving kind of in an automatic pilot kind of a mentality. I mean, we're paying attention, we're watching the road for abnormal things to happen in front of us, but we kind of tune out. I mean, that happens here on Sundays. Not in this congregation, I know, but it can happen on Sundays where people kind of tune out for a minute or two and then come back. Well, we're doing another hymn. That was very short. A friend of mine, I know, he used to fall asleep a lot, and he had some heart trouble and whatnot, and we would sit and watch movies. And I can remember watching Star Wars on television with him one night, and he kept waking up and saying, boy, they sure edited this movie with commercials to make it fit that timeline. And he would just nod off and kind of come up again and nod off and come up again. I wish I could do that. I've told that story before about me nodding off in church. Donna, who's not here this morning again, she's teaching the children. A friend of ours, Alex Mitchell, a friend of mine in Ottawa, who's also a minister. We were not ministers at the time. We both worked night shift. So we would come to church very tired on Sunday morning and sit on either side of Donna, somewhere around where Todd's sitting at the moment. And when we woke up with a and shook the pew. So I wish I could just kind of nod off and come to. The reason that disruptive mnemonic works is the way to jog your memory. And I'm going to be giving you some different ways to jog your memory over the next number of weeks. The paperclip was just the beginning of that. The penny is to put in your pocket, and the next time you put your hand in your pocket, which I frequently do, you're going to find your penny again. And when you find your penny, it's to remind you to pray. It's to remind you that we're in Lent. It's to remind you to take a moment maybe to read a scripture. It's a time to stop maybe for a moment and just think about our path to Easter. So I really want you to take that this week and try to remember. Think of our minds for a minute. Every one of us has routines and schedules. Our minds tend to work the hardest when we're doing learning something new. When we're just doing routine things, however, our mind can often go into cruise control, as I said. We as human beings are capable of doing some very amazing things without really thinking about it. You know, some people can walk and read a book at the same time. The most phenomenal thing I think that I've seen people do is when I was riding the subway to work years back, and I'd see people absolutely out cold in the morning. They're slumped right over on the subway, and all of a sudden they go up, get up, and walk off. How did they do that? How did they know they'd gone 12 stops or whatever it is? And they were, I did that one time, actually. I fell asleep on a GO bus that was going down from north of Toronto. And it went down to Yorkdale, and I had to change buses. So I had to go to East End, Toronto. Got on that bus. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I went up late again, and I fell asleep. And that bus, I would get off at Scarborough Town Center. And I had a dream. I was a lovely man in a uniform walking up to me in a field, calling my name. And I kind of came to, and I didn't hoof that time. But I woke up, and there was the GO bus driver in his uniform. Sir, can I help you, sir? I looked around, and there was nobody else on the bus but me and the driver. And as I looked outside, I could see fields of green. He said, where did you want to get off? And I said, at the city center. Well, we're at the city center. He said, well, it doesn't look like it to me. We're in Oshawa, he said. Yeesh. Anybody out there, I've got a sleeper on board. Can you come back and pick this guy up? So, no, I can't do that automatic wake-up thing. I'm out for the count. But we can do a lot of things, it seems, at the same time. Sometimes on automatic. And our memory is the same. When we're in our routine, our scheduled minds, our minds tend to relax. It's easy to forget things we don't think are very important because we simply tend not to think or focus on those things. It's the way with taking out the trash or delivering a letter. These are things we don't usually do on a daily basis, so it's not routine and it's easy to forget. And I'm going to keep that in mind next week when I'm taking the trash out and forget again. As my wife always says, it's Thursday night again, please take the garbage. Is it Thursday already? Anyway. Your pennies are to help you to remember to pray. Your pennies are to remember to help you in our Lenten walk together. It's interesting when we take a look at Lent, I think in general terms. As I said last week as well, not all Presbyterian churches sort of do anything for Lent. Many are now, as we're finding, return to sort of more traditional ways of worship and ways of walking in those older sort of ways. And I think that Lent is a great opportunity, those 40 days, for us to do something new, to do something different. And I'm encouraging you with all these little disruptive mnemonics to do that. I found it to be a very different thing to read, and I've obviously read the story of Easter so many times, this particular reading in Luke. The Pharisees, who are always opposed to Jesus, every time I see the word Pharisee in Scripture, I think, well, they're going to argue with him. In this particular case, they weren't arguing with him. They were doing quite the opposite in so many ways. They said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. They were trying to help him. Now, Jesus has a great long speech that he wants them to deliver back to Herod. But the idea is that sometimes the things that we expect to see in Scripture aren't always there. The stories that we think we know are not always what we thought we knew. And again, it's that mnemonic or that disruptive mnemonic to take a moment and relook at these stories again and again and again and find that sometimes the people that we expect or the stories that we expect are different. Now, mentioning that, it's also true that often when we see people or we see situations, we think we know what they're all about because we've done them so many times. They become almost routine. So coming to church on Sunday for us can be a routine kind of thing that it becomes. There's a quote, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but there's a quote that I read years ago. It was to say, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we should all wear life preservers and crash helmets, because we should always expect something exciting to happen at church. Now, obviously using that as an analogy, because I wouldn't want to see all the crash helmets here on Sunday morning. Although it could help when we nod off, I suppose, maybe, but that's another story altogether. The idea that when we come to church on Sunday mornings, the Spirit of God is here in our midst. The Spirit of God is speaking to us. And things that we expect, maybe we shouldn't expect always. The things that, how God speaks to us, sometimes can be very different. I did not expect to read that the Pharisees were helping Jesus to get away from trouble. We know that story very well. They're the ones that crucified or set that up, that whole event. They're typically looked at as sort of the bad guys in a Western, so to speak. But here they are actually trying to help him. Here they are actually trying to protect him. An unexpected result in a story that we probably all thought we knew very well. So this week, as we're moving through Scriptures, through Lent, take that penny reminder. Take the penny reminder and pray and look at the Easter story again. Read some of the Scripture this week. Maybe we'll find something very unexpected and that God can speak to us in a very special way. And instead of the king opposed, we might find the king fully embraced in our hearts, in our lives, in ways that we did not expect. Thanks be to God for all of this. So keep your pennies, find a pocket, put them in there, and think about prayer and Scripture. Amen. God has richly blessed us. Let us return some of that blessing in a form of our offering this morning. blessings that you give to us each and every day. Take this, our offering, and bless it, Lord, to your use, to your service, and to the betterment of the gospel in our world today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We come now to the special privilege and responsibility that we have in, as being followers of Christ, to be a praying people. We want to join our hearts and minds to think of a couple of people. I know there are many in our congregation, but Dave Wood had mentioned a cousin, Grace, who's not doing very well, and she's in a hospice now, so we're praying for her family. And Shirley Pullen, she was at the hospital yesterday, but she's home now. She just had a bit of a kidney stone, and they're working on that, but we do want to hold her up in prayer. So let's bow our heads and come before God in prayer. Lord God, you are a creator above, you are a spirit within, you are ahead of us, you open yourself to us. And Lord, all of these things happen so that we can become transparent in a way to ourselves, so that we can truly see our hearts. And in doing so, open our hearts up to that responsibility and privilege that we have to come before you and pray for others. As a congregation, we are bound together in the Spirit of God in this way. And this prayer that we offer every Sunday is a powerful prayer because we're united in that sense. And where we are gathered, you are there. And where you're there, Lord, you are powerfully at work. Lord, we pray for Grace. We pray for her family. We pray for all of those involved. When death is near, it is so hard. And it's hard as death approaches and happens and in the aftermath. It's difficult for families in so many ways, especially when there's been a loving spirit in someone, an especially loving spirit in someone. And Lord, we pray for Shirley. We know that she's home resting right now, not doing too bad, but we do hold her up in prayer, Lord, that you can work with the doctors to do whatever's needed to get the kidney stones working and out of their way. As things can trouble us, sometimes something so small can make our lives very, very difficult. So Lord, we also pray for her family and how they can support and be around her as well. Lord, we know that there is very much going on in our world today. Many different things are being talked about and actively dealt with. Some things are grand and wonderful. Other things are not. There are people in our community who are without housing. There are people in our own community who are without food. There are people in our own community who don't have jobs or have jobs that don't pay enough to even live on. So, Lord, we're thinking of our community in that respect. And, Lord, as a congregation, not only praying, but the works that we do to help in so many ways. Lord, we pray for the people and we pray for the continued works that can help and continue to move on the hearts of the people in this congregation and other congregations, certainly in our community, that are working towards helping people in very practical ways to bring about some love and light into lives that may be very loveless and dark, especially when things are not going well. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation here who have got something hidden in their heart, Lord, that needs your love, that needs your light, and especially during this time of Lent, Lord, we are praying that you can shine a light on those dark places for us. Give us a sense of hope and healing, and help us to really truly see you, Lord, in all that we do. Lord, we take a moment now in silence and we offer each of us a name. And it seems simple to just say that name, Lord, to you, but you know what's all underneath that, that one person's first name and all the story that goes with it. Each one of us has someone in our lives, Lord, that really truly needs you this day. And now, Lord, we take a moment and offer those to you. Spirit of Christ, give us a joy that outlasts our sorrows. Give us a hope that's stronger than our despair. Give us a new belief that we can have reason to rejoice and to be glad for who we are because you made us and you gave us life. And everything we have is a gift from you. We offer these prayers in this light, Lord. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll join together now in our final hymn this morning, 569, O Jesus, I have promised. Beginning of our service this day, we sang from Psalm 27, we read from Psalm 27, and I'd like to close today with a verse from Psalm 27, the very last verse. Wait for the Lord, and be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. During this time of Lent, we are waiting for God, we are seeking God, and we are expecting something wonderful from God. So go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God, and may God of love, who shared his love, strengthen us in our love for others. May the Son who shared his life grant us grace that we might share our life. And may the Holy Spirit dwelling in us empower us to be only and always for others in Christ. Amen.